let me in. Shiba shiba, I wanna be closer to you. Shiba shiba, open up your soul. Shiba shiba, let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something, and you are going to enjoy today. You know why? Because it's an all-library day. That's right, folks. It's Library Palooza, and I've got some librarianistas here to talk with you about all things library. We're going to start the show off today with some people who do all those things to make the library comfortable and safe to visit. So from the facilities side of the library, I'd like to welcome Alfonso Hinojosa Chavarria. I'd like to welcome John Cunha, and I'd like to welcome Maureen Singleton. Hello, everyone.
Good afternoon, Marilyn. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Marilyn. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
So before we get started, tell me how, what is it that you guys do for the library? And I'm going to start with John. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is that facilities does?
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. So I've heard the metaphor used, and it's not a perfect metaphor, but it's mm-hmm. it's pretty close. If you go to a restaurant, you've got the front of the house and the back of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Facilities is pretty much everything that happens in the back of the house.
Okay.
So everything that's required to get the building open, to get it safe, to get it healthy, to make sure it operates properly from an environmental control perspective, all of those things come through facilities.
Okay.
Some of the other things that again don't fit that metaphor perfectly is our logistics team. They deliver all the collections to all of our buildings throughout the city.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. So a lot of people don't understand that how big our system is. We have 30 buildings in the San Francisco Public Library system.
Really?
And two of those are non-public, but 28 of them,
mm-hmm.
math, 28 of them are public-facing buildings, right? So our logistics team circulated over 2 million pieces of our collection, 2 million
wow.
books, CDs, et cetera, in fiscal year 25 alone. So that's a seven-day-a-week nonstop circulation that's going on. That is all part of the facilities team, yeah.
And I appreciate that because I'm from San Francisco and I'm accustomed to the library being open every day of the week. When I went to D.C. and I went to the Library of Congress on a Sunday, I was shocked to find out that they were closed. And I was like, how can it be? And that's how I know that the San Francisco library system is superior, but
yeah.
Not that I'm biased. I'm biased.
Yeah, I mean, the library, it's such a special place, right? Just conceptually, the idea of something for people, a resource for people that's free in today's age is pretty spectacular and exceedingly democratic, right? So I'm excited to be a part of it for that reason. And it is, it is a lot of work to bring that to people, right? I mean, from our security team who keeps the building safe and organized and welcoming,
mm-hmm.
to our custodial staff that keep it clean and vibrant, and our capital team who really is our group that's kind of looking to the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to improve next? What are we going to make better for our patrons throughout the city? So, yeah, it's pretty special. This is the third department I've been with the city. I've been with the city for almost 12 years now. And one of the really special things about the library is we have, in pretty much every community throughout the city, we have a public-facing building that's
mm-hmm.
that's accessible to our community members. And I think that puts us in a very, very strategic, very important, very comforting position within our communities in which people know, that we are a constant resource for them at all times, from everything from checking out a book to children's reading times to, for me, another passion that I deal with on a regular basis with Alfonso's help is our emergency preparedness, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's, we are essential in that sense because we do have that opportunity to serve each community individually in that capacity. So,
well, let's throw the mic over to Alfonso. Tell me a little bit about the emergency preparedness and what it is that you do with the library.
Yeah, so my position at the library itself is I'm an administrative analyst under the Security and Emergency Preparedness Unit, and I try to or tend to oversee a lot of the emergency preparedness plans. While working under John, it's a big project we undertook, and we realized that we need to really update and keep these up to date on a regular and frequent basis, especially mm-hmm. here at the library, because we want to, like John was saying, we want to be a community partner with our other city departments, and not just with the departments, but with the communities we actually work in. Mm-hmm. So we really want to be able to solidify our position with our partners in, within the city, like the Department of Emergency Management, and mm-hmm. really be able to provide support to them with our facilities and see where we can really participate in those. And recently we've like really participated in a lot of different exercises to help bring our staff up to date as to like what current emergency procedures are within the city and then within the state as well. So it's a world that was really new to me, and I knew a little bit about emergency preparedness just mm-hmm. from what you're taught in school and like that basic stuff, but it's really amazing to see how an entire department or like city comes together during these emergencies, and like everything that needs to be tracked, everything that needs to be organized and structured. And it's amazing because I never knew that it was so organized in a way that like it helps in the smallest things, like even just communications between specific like units within a department. Like it's just really great to see, and being able to have a role in that within the library, it's been great. And one of like the more recent projects I've worked on, we've gotten a big capital project update to our building, the main uh-huh. library, to uh-huh. upgrade our fire life safety system.
Okay.
And with that, like we really wanted to revamp our evacuation procedures, and we recently did a fire drill for the whole library, and we're hoping to continue that cadence with the main library and continue in making improvements to our procedures. And one big thing is making sure that there's clear like communications between the public services side, which is like our librarians and everything, mm-hmm. as well as our, like John was saying, the back end staff, like our security team, our engineers, our custodians, and our like logistical unit, making sure we all understand our role within that.
To get every, because that's a huge library, and how do you know where everyone is to get everyone out?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's actually like one big point we've really been discussing is like making sure we get the public out, making sure we get our staff out in a very organized way and manner. And John says it best, like with more practice and repetition, the better we'll get at it. So I'm really glad to be a part of that. And it's been definitely a struggle for me in some ways mm-hmm. because, again, it was something I learned fairly recently. But I'm happy to say that the team I have been extremely supportive. Everyone has been really great. John here has been like a really great mentor and a really great boss in that way. The person next to me, Maureen, she's really provided support in so many ways, and having a lot of people back me up has just been the greatest. So it's made it a lot easier mm-hmm. in so many ways. But yeah, it's been a fun, difficult project.
Well, let's talk about Maureen. What is it that you do? What is it that invites such a glowing testimonial from your coworker?
Hi, everyone. So I am the chief operating officer, and one of the divisions I get to work with is facilities. Mm-hmm. They have the broadest area of responsibility for our institution. And I also oversee all the other back of house operations. So mm-hmm. the finance division, HR, our research strategy and analytics unit, and then our IT. Mm-hmm. So everything that is integral to the full operation of a library system. And I consider myself exceptionally lucky because I get to work with amazing folks like Alfonso, who joined the library as part of an SF Fellows program, mm-hmm. and then other folks who are just very much into learning by doing and evolving and growing. And they demonstrate that every day by being willing to learn new things and learn from what we did well and learn from where we didn't do quite as well as we would hope to. But I find these folks just incredibly inspirational, and it reminds me why I like to work in public service.
Okay. Well, this is a question for all of you. What would you say is the most rewarding part of what you do? I mean, obviously, it's rewarding to work at the library, but within that library system, what is something that you have done that you thought, this is why I'm here?
I'll start. Mm-hmm. And this isn't library-centric per se, but I love some of the things that Alfonso brought up, the relationships with other city departments. Mm-hmm. Like when you make those connections with, oh, that person gets things done, like I love that. Like that collaboration, like knowing that we are actually moving the needle in some demonstrative way to like improve things for people in the city of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That's what I really get excited about. So we've done again, our work around emergency planning. The Department of Emergency Management is amazing. They are a small department, but they work so hard to bring us together as a collaborative group, all the different departments. Mm-hmm. And it's I get really excited about that, obviously. And then, you know, we've done a lot of work on Fulton Plaza, which is just outside of the library. It's really the space that used to be a roadway between the public library and the Asian Art Museum. Mm-hmm. It was closed down about 3 years ago to become more of a plaza instead of a thoroughway. And that's been a passion project of mine and other people at the library, is trying to activate that and bring more positivity to really the members of the whole city, but of the Tenderloin and the Civic Center area. Mm-hmm. And I find that really exciting, is to try to find an impactful, positive, let's call it programming, for lack of a better term, that you can do in a space to bring better things to people. I love that kind of work.
And Maureen, how about you?
Thank you, Marilyn. That's really hard to narrow it down to just one item. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things that I am most proud of is funding and supporting the SF Fellows program. Mm-hmm. So over the lifespan of that program, the library's been able to employ or have about a dozen or so fellows. So these are recent graduates from undergrad programs who want to work in government. Mm-hmm. And they come in with a lot of energy and excitement, and it reinvigorates the rest of us who might have gotten a little jaded with time. But they remind us about what's possible. They take on specialty projects. We give them an opportunity to do that, learn by doing. And they get in there and they're doing the hard work. They're not watching from the sidelines. They're being involved in impactful programs like Alfonso was talking about. Mm-hmm. Emergency planning and preparedness is just one example. We also worked with some students in the past when we went Find Free. So being able to work with young, bright minds that are interested in getting in and making a difference in the community is one of the things that I am really proud of being engaged in.
Very cool. How about you, Alfonso? Tell me a little bit about what thrills you in your job.
For me, what really excites me, and I'm really happy to see the impacts on, is like one big project we've been undertaking in facilities is process improvement. And being able to see my work just improve any form of procedures within the library, or help like speed up any procedures we have currently, is just really great to see, because that just means our work is ever so more impactful to not just the librarians we work with and the staff like that we help get like a lot of services to. It's those impacts are directly to the public, and we really can't I can't emphasize enough how important facilities is, because in these past 2 years that I've worked it made me realize that, yes, there's these buildings that people work in and everything, but they wouldn't be able to work the way they do. They wouldn't be able to provide the services they do if it weren't for the staff that are cleaning their areas, that are you know, like mopping the floors, the staff that are keeping it secure, the engineers that work day and night to really, you know, even the small, like, change things, like the smallest things like light bulbs or anything like that. It's amazing to see those impacts, and I'm happy to be able to work with the staff that really don't, I guess, get that spotlight as much because they're not in the public as much.
Well, what's a process that you suggested that was implemented and you thought, oh, this made things better?
I think it's more like an appeals hearing schedule that we have. So, like, sometimes there's patrons that they don't act in accordance to our code of conduct. And it's an ongoing project, but, like, I've worked closely with one of our analysts who's worked with it, and, like, we're really trying to brainstorm, like, how's the best way to be able to get them access to these services quickly and work with our staff. And it's great to see that now that we have two heads working with it, and now we're going to expand it to more of our staff taking it on, it'll be easier for us to manage. It'll be easier for us to really understand our patrons more as well, and get our staff trained properly to make sure that we're able to understand them more, because the patrons we help are from, like, all walks of life. And sometimes, you know, people are having a bad day and then they may not interact in the best way possible or act in the best way possible while at the library. And
so as a group, as a team, what can the public, what do you want the public to know in terms of what you guys do? And what's the turnover rate within your department? Like, do you guys need people? Because I know after the pandemic, it was really hard to get those numbers. You know, you guys were, everyone was stretched really thin.
Yeah, that's great, because I was going to offer a shameless recruitment plug. So that's perfect. That is one of the things I would like the public to know. And this goes for most city departments. This isn't just the library. Like, we have a carpenter that works for us. We have an electrician that works for us. We have several stationary engineers. And I think a lot of people, they don't make that connection when they're thinking of, like, the library. So there are just so many wonderful job opportunities within all departments, but for us specifically, the library, that people never would have connected those dots. So I think, you know, I have been a carpenter for the city. I've been a carpenter supervisor, and now I'm a facilities director. And at each one of those levels, I can't express how grateful, like, what a great job each one of them was at that level. Like, they're just, they're wonderful career paths. They're wonderful. There's stability. All of it. They're just great jobs. So if anyone's curious, I encourage them to investigate, because there's a lot of career paths that exist within the city that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Well, specifically about the library, if people are interested in working for the library, is there a way they can find out online, or do they go in person? How does it work? And I'm going to throw that to Maureen, since she looks like she has.
Thank you. So the city and county of San Francisco, of which our department is a part of, through the Department of Human Resources, has information on all of the available positions that the city is recruiting for. So if you go to their website, which of course I don't have memorized, but we can make sure that we get that information to you. But you would just keyword search by the San Francisco Public Library. And in doing that, you're going to see the long list of opportunities that John was talking about. So from librarians to engineers to human resources to analysts, it's all there.
Okay. And we have so little time left. So, John, do you have any last things you want to let our listening audience know about?
Man, I think we've covered it. I just, I mean, the last plug I would give for the library is, I just, again, I'm grateful for the position I have, and you know, the from Maureen, who is my direct boss, who is, like, an amazing supportive boss that I can't imagine being more aligned with my boss than I am with her. The group of people I get to work with in the city and county of San Francisco is just, and that's the library and other departments, it's been a complete blessing in my life, and I just am really grateful, and I hope you know, our patrons and our community members understand the amount of work that goes into to making their visit to the San Francisco Public Library as pleasant and as wonderful and as dynamic as possible. And you know, if you see a security guard or a custodian, tell them thanks.
All right. Well, with that, John, Alfonso, Maureen, I want to thank all three of you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
And People of Earth, coming up in just a moment or two, we are going to have Michelle Jeffers, who's going to talk about the Night of Ideas, which I know Facilities is going to be all over. So please stay tuned. And while you do, listen to some Nina Simone.
Many years ago, I was a sinful girl. A sinful girl. No worries me. I never lie. Please read me. Not much conversation ever came from me. I never knew reality. I never
Nina Simone, and Please Read Me, from the very best of Nina Simone. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. As I told you, it's Library Palooza, and they're going to be doing the Night of Ideas, and the Library Anista, who's going to tell you about it, is Michelle Jeffers. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited that we're going to be celebrating our seventh Night of Ideas in just less than 2 weeks on April 11th.
So, some of our listening audience doesn't even understand or know what the Night of Ideas is. Can you give us a little bit of background about it?
Yeah. So, again, we've been doing it for 7 years, and it's a chance to come into the library at night, stay here till midnight on a Saturday night, have these unique experiences in the library that is about engaging with people around ideas, seeing music, being loud in the library, and just having this really interesting night of sharing of debate and conversation and seeing art and beautiful performances. And it's not just the library, it's also the Asian Art Museum, our next-door neighbor, as well as the Fulton Plaza between our two buildings, with just filled with hours of activities all night until midnight.
So is the Night of Ideas, is it a bunch of ideas? Is it one central theme? What is this Night of Ideas doing?
Well, I would say it's a bunch of ideas, but it is under a common theme, which is called Lighting the Way. And it's the idea that we're going to decide what guides us, what inspires us to make positive change for the future, and how we can just be more connected as a society to move forward together around these positive ideas.
Okay. Now, I've been to two nights of ideas. They were both very exciting. So talk a little bit about, if you go, what will we see? What acts are going to be there? What talks are going to be there? What films are going to be there?
You bet. And I do want to add that for families, because we've heard from families who want to participate, that we start early. Mm-hmm. We start at 3 o'clock with what we call an afternoon of ideas for family. And that includes like tinkering and crafts with the Exploratorium. We have a petting zoo with instruments from the San Francisco Symphony. We have a family dance along with the San Francisco Ballet. We, of course, have a drag story hour with San Francisco's official drag laureate, Persia. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot of fun things for families to do. And then we transition right into the night starting at 7 p.m. And we have a lot of great talks. We have ethical artificial intelligence for the next generation. We have a talk about ocean healing, sort of restoration of our reefs. We're going to talk about the evolving San Francisco arts ecosystem with some of the new organizations that are coming up to help the arts continue to live long in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. We have Knowing What You Don't Know, Seeing Beyond the Unseeable with the SETI Institute, you know, about what might be out there in the universe for mm-hmm. us all.
That's amazing. So how does it all come together?
It's been a great partnership with the library, the Asian Arts Museum, KQED, and, of course, the French government through Villa Albertine, the French Institute for Culture and Education. So all of us come together, come up with ideas to plan this event. We plan this event almost all year long for this one special night. It does happen in other cities around the world. There are 300 cities that participate in the spring around the world doing Night of Ideas. Mm-hmm. But I'll say San Francisco's is the biggest and the best.
Now, you say, of course, the French government, as though we know what that is. But I have no idea. So enlighten me.
Yeah, it is the government of France. They are the instigators of Night of Ideas around the world.
Okay.
With the idea of bringing communities together in their cities at common spaces like libraries and arts institutions to bring people together and understand what is happening in your community around culture, education, innovation, arts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this Night of Ideas, is the Night of Ideas happening on the same night across the world, or is it sort of staggered?
It's staggered a bit. It's a kind of a season, but it happens usually within about a week or two of every day. It's usually kind of a 2-week window of time where most cities have their Night of Ideas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when I've been in the past, there's like musicians there playing, and I... what was going on? There was one night it seemed like a rave going on and people wearing blinky stuff. So is that happening again? Like pump up the experience.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of entertainment that happens throughout it. We'll have a drag show that happens in the middle of the evening. We'll have DJs out on Fulton Plaza that are provided by Empire Records in San Francisco, so spinning tunes out on Fulton Plaza. We'll end the night in the library at 10 p.m. with a disco dance party on the main floor of the library mm-hmm. with more DJs. We have the Mermen, kind of famous punk surf band playing. We have Tycho drumming. We have a light show. We'll be showing Buster Keaton's silent film Daydreams, accompanied by live music from the Clubfoot Quintet. So there's a lot. There's kind of something for everybody. That you know.
Got it. So what is something that you are particularly excited about, just on a personal level?
Oh my goodness, there's so many things. I think that I'm really excited. I'm excited in particular about. A talk with some of our Bay Beats authors. Bay Beats is the library streaming music platform.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some of our Bay Beats artists talking about what the future of the music and recording industry holds. And then I think on the entertainment side, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing a Baybeats band, Naked Roommate, playing out on Fulton Plaza.
Okay.
And I'm also excited to see this Asian drag troupe called Rice Rockets that will be performing at the Asian Art Museum in Samsung Hall.
Wow. And then how long has the Asian Art Museum been a part of the Night of Ideas?
This will be their second year partnering with us. So they were part of our contingent last year, and mm-hmm. they loved it so much they came back for another year.
Okay. And then when I went last year, you guys had the Friends of the Library out. Will they be participating again?
Yeah, Friends of the Library are great supporters, of course, for the library. So they'll be joining us. They sponsor this event, provide a lot of the funding for it, and they'll be out here enjoying the night with us too.
Now, is this an event where you should eat first, or will there be like food trucks there, or what's the food sitch like?
Yeah, we'll have several food trucks. I think 6 food trucks out on Fulton Plaza, so lots of chances to get nourished.
Mm-hmm.
And then inside both buildings, there will be some additional food and mostly drinks at some bars in both the Asian Art Museum and the main library.
Okay. So with the Night of Ideas, what is it that they want to promote for the people who are coming through the door? Is it to raise awareness of the library? Is it to really drill down to the ideas? Or is it just a night of fun?
I mean, it's really both. It is drilling down and, you know, into some of these ideas that we hope, you know, inspire people to take action for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a chance to reacquaint yourself. If you haven't visited the library or you haven't visited the Asian Art Museum in a while,
mm-hmm.
come on out. It's free. And so come on out and see what all the great things that are happening. People forget that, you know, they get caught in their ways of what a library means. And it's like a library means a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. And you
come enjoy it.
And you mentioned that you guys will be open till midnight?
Right.
That's excellent. And it's at the main library, correct?
Right. The main library at 100 Larkin Street and the Asian Art Museum at 200 Larkin Street.
Okay. And the fact that it goes till midnight means that if you leave just before midnight, you can still get on the Muni if you're taking public transportation.
Exactly. You can get home.
So I love that. So if people wanted to find out more about the Night of Ideas, how would they go about doing that?
So we do ask for people to make a reservation. It's free, but mm-hmm. it's nightofideas.org/San Francisco.
Okay. And if they want to read up on it, is that the same thing?
Same website, yes. You can see all the performances and all the schedule. It can be, you know, overwhelming that there are so many things happening, so it is good to check out the website and plan your night ahead of time.
And for those people who may not be digitally active, is there any printed material they can refer to?
There is. There's a printed guide that lists every program happening at the Night of Ideas, and
ooh.
That will be handed out as soon as you walk in the door, so you can definitely orient yourself. There's a ton of signs around the building. Sometimes you end up in a program that wasn't maybe what you thought you were going to, or you know, thought you were going to end up at, and it inspires you in a whole new different way.
And how many floors of the library will be open while this is going on?
We'll be using all the floors of the library, so
really?
That's 7 floors, 6 floors above ground in our lower level where the auditorium is. So all of the floors at the library and all of the floors at the Asian Art Museum will be open.
That's fantastic. Well, is there anything else that you would like our listening audience to know about vis-a-vis the Night of Ideas?
I mean, I think that everybody should just come and experience it, because it is experiencing both a library and a museum and the Civic Center area in a completely different way.
All right. Well, with that, Michelle Jeffers, I want to thank you so much for being on the show and talking about the Night of Ideas.
Thank you. Looking forward to seeing you there too, Marilyn.
Oh, you definitely will. All right. People of Earth, it's the Night of Ideas. That date is April 11th, I think.
April 11th.
And that starts at 3 o'clock for those of you with youngins, and it goes to midnight for those of you who enjoy a night out. So that's something that you're going to have so much fun with, so enjoy that library. Speaking of libraries, this coming up next for you, we've got Kenny Garrett, the name of this song, Books and Toys. Yeah, that's Kenny Garrett. Books and Toys. That is from the Black Hope CD. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO, San Francisco. Part 3 of Library Palooza, because it's the last Monday of the month, and we traditionally have a librarianista here to talk about what's coming up at the library for the month of April. Here to talk about that, I'd like to welcome librarianista du jour, Jonathan Steinitz. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Marilyn.
So tell me a little bit about are you a librarian?
I am, and my official job title is personal finance librarian.
Ooh.
If you're wondering what a personal finance librarian does, I coordinate the library's financial literacy programs.
Okay. And when did you start doing that?
I've been doing this for about 2.5 years.
Okay. So we're going to talk about personal finance. Generally, when I think of personal finance, I actually think of those people who are, you know, they take you out to dinner to try and get you to buy their services. And I'm like, well, aren't you beholden to somebody? But what, in terms of the library, where you're probably not beholden to anybody, what does it actually mean?
Well, I think that's a great way to talk about what the library offers, because there are a lot of people out there that, you know, have biased information. They're trying to sell something. Mm-hmm. So at the library, you know, San Francisco is famously one of the most expensive, least affordable places on earth. Yes. It's hard enough managing, you know, your own finances. Yeah, I know. We got the Golden Gate Bridge and it's, you know, wild cost of living.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard enough managing your finances, you know, and then when you live somewhere like the San Francisco Bay Area, it gets even more tricky. And then there are so many people out there giving misinformation, trying to sell something. So the library, we want everyone to have the knowledge, resources, and support to make good financial decisions, build their wealth, be able to pass that along to their children, the next generation. So we do that in a number of ways. We have workshops where we get financial professionals. Those can be certified financial planners, investment advisors, attorneys, in all different fields that have to do with personal finance. Mm-hmm. And they'll give talks on just the topics that people need to know about in order to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. In addition to our workshops, we also have one-on-one counseling opportunities available for people where they can, you know, work one-on-one with a financial counselor or a certified financial planner mm-hmm. to just, you know, make a plan, whether that's, you know, you're kind of in trouble, you know, have a lot of debt, you want to repair or build your credit, figure out budgeting, saving, or if, you know, you're maybe a little further along in your financial journey, mm-hmm. Start thinking about smart ways to invest your money, grow your wealth, navigate the tax system smartly, and, you know, plan for retirement, because hopefully everyone, after a long life of work, gets rewarded with some fun and rest at the end of that.
Unless you're coming to it now when you realize that you're going to just be working till you die. But let's talk about the different needs, because when I think about young people entering into adulthood and entering into the job market, and it doesn't seem like it's something that really gets taught. So you have these young people who are coming into the market and maybe saddled with debt simply because they didn't learn about it. So what are some of the tools that you can offer for someone who's very young and trying to figure out their finances?
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, I include myself in this. So many people, when they learn these things later in life, they think like, boy, I wish someone would have told me this when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have resources and programs for people to learn those skills and get that information. April is our Financial Capability Month, mm-hmm. Where we have a month-long series of workshops on different financial literacy topics. And okay. Two that speak to what you're asking about are we have one on student loans, mm-hmm. Which is a very complicated topic right now. There's a lot of changes happening. People are very debt impacted right now. So one of our partners is going to come in, talk about all the changes that have happened with student loans, mm-hmm. and then provide free resources that are available through the state of California to help navigate whether you're in default or just trying to figure out how to repay your debt. So we're going to have one workshop on that, and we're also going to have one on saving for education. Mm-hmm. That will talk about the San Francisco K-C, Kindergarten to College program, okay. which is an education savings account that every San Francisco public school student automatically gets.
Really?
Yeah. So K-C will be with us, along with someone from ScholarShare, which is it's through the state treasurer's office, and they manage the what's called a 529 program, which is a tax-advantaged educational savings account where you or your parents or anyone actually can put money in for a young person. That money will grow tax-free, mm-hmm. and when they eventually take that money out, as long as they spend it on qualified education expenses, There's no taxes on it there.
Really?
So these are powerful tools
yeah.
to save for education, pay for your education, hopefully not go into much debt that, you know, people should know about as they're planning for the future.
So that's the 529 plan?
Yes.
Which is easy to remember because it's the square of 23. So we've talked about that. Now let's talk about the other end of the spectrum. You have people who are just about to retire and having to deal with Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and suddenly going into a world on a fixed income where your money seems to be worth a whole lot less than it was 10 years ago. So what do you have for that crowd?
So we do frequent workshops on the subject of retirement. Mm-hmm. But I think with both retirement and a lot of other topics, when it comes to your finances, it's very specific to the individual.
Sure.
So I think it's what I always recommend people do is take advantage of the one-on-one programs that we have. One of them is provided in partnership with the San Francisco Office of Financial Empowerment.
Okay.
Anyone living, working, or receiving services in San Francisco can meet one-on-one on an ongoing basis with a certified financial counselor. Now, they can help with sort of getting your finances together, you know, saving, budgeting. So if you're on a fixed income, mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be important, making sure you have a budget. And they also are going to be aware of the circumstances that people in that situation face when you're approaching retirement. So they can kind of be there to, you know, ask questions, help you come up with plans. You know, if you're worried that you're not going to have enough money, this would be a good resource to take advantage of, because they can kind of look at what your expenses are, how much money you have coming in, and figure out how to make that work. We also have a partnership with a nonprofit called Advisors Give Back.
Okay.
And through that, people can meet with a certified financial planner.
Mm-hmm.
They provide similar guidance as the financial counselors, but they can also talk to people more specifically about retirement planning. A lot of people's retirement plans involve investment accounts. So they're going to be people who are experts with that. So
okay.
they can talk to people, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a pension or a 401k, and then Social Security, they're going to be able to help you navigate your sort of transition to retirement. And there are income and savings limits for Advisors Give Back, but it's a really great resource and people should check it out, because that kind of advice can cost a lot of money, and this is free.
And those sound like great programs. How do you get a one-on-one a slot? Do you have to sign up online? Can you go in person? How does it work?
Yeah. So the San Francisco Financial Counseling, which is the program we do with the Office of Financial Empowerment, mm-hmm. they are both on site at the main library Monday through Friday. You can also meet with them virtually, or over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, Advisors Give Back currently is just over the phone, but for both of those programs, you'll want to register online. If you go to our personal finance website, which is sfpl.org/personal-finance,
mm-hmm.
You'll see links to both of those one-on-one opportunities, as well as other personal finance resources and our programs that are coming up.
Okay, now I want to circle back to something you said earlier about there are things that you wish someone had told you when you were younger that would have saved you a lot of, I guess, financial heartache. Mm. What are some of those things, in case someone is young, is listening, and they go, oh, now I know. So I won't make that same mistake or get sucked in by that.
Two things come to mind immediately. One is be very careful with debt, any kind of debt. I think student loan debt, you know, it's a way that our society funds people's education. Unfortunately, it's an expensive way
mm-hmm.
to do that. So I think I wish I would have known more about how student loans work, what that debt means, how much it's going to end up costing in the long run. Because when you're, you know, maybe 18 years old, you get accepted to college and they give you this big line of credit sort of automatically. It's good to know what exactly it is you're signing up for and to use it wisely. The other thing I wish I would have known was the magic of compounding, where if you start saving early, even little amounts, it grows exponentially as you get older. So, you know, I always think, boy, I wish 20 years ago I would have, I wish I would have started saving 20 years before I actually really started saving. And, you know, around here it's tough because it's so expensive. A lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. But I think, you know, if you're able to save even a little amount over the long run, that little amount can grow a lot. So I kind of wish I would have known that too.
But it's hard to think about saving when you're digging through your couch cushions trying to find money for a burrito.
No, it is. You know, like, it is really challenging around here. But I think that's why at the library we really like providing these resources to people, because it's hard to do this on your own. You know, you're busy. You know, there's not much left over after all your bills are paid, you know, assuming you can afford all your bills. So, you know, just to have people who, like, experts in this field who can work with you on this, answer your questions, sort of hold your hand through this, because it's really tough. And there's a lot of misinformation out there right now. So, yeah, definitely, you know, don't get your financial planning information from TikTok. Go to the library instead.
I could say that about a lot of things. Don't get any. But is there a program that's coming up that you want to make sure that everyone knows about, that may be like a one-off or something like that?
Well, I mean, so we have our whole campaign throughout the month of April. We're doing 14 virtual programs, so you can join from home. They'll all be on Zoom. And five additional in-person programs that are going to be at the main library or a handful of our branches. I think I can just, so this goes throughout the month, but just in the next week, on Thursday, we have a program called Best Retirement Savings Plans for You. And that our presenter is a certified financial planner, Heather Liston. She does great presentations for us. She's going to go through all the different types of retirement savings accounts that are available to people and talk about the, you know, the pros and cons of using those different ways of saving for retirement. Because, you know, it's in all this stuff, the devil's in the details. So this is a good opportunity to learn about these different ways of saving for retirement. And then we also have coming up, the next one in our series is on managing debt. That's going to be Tuesday, April 7th. And our partners from the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation are going to come to talk about how to deal with debt, as well as resources and rights that you have as someone in the state of California. So those are two immediate programs coming up that I would recommend people join us for. And then if you come join us for those, we'll tell you all about the rest of the ones we have throughout the month.
And to reiterate, it's sfpl.org/personal-finance. Okay.
And I'll give you one other URL. It's sfpl.org/BST. That's the department I work for, is the Business Science and Technology Department. And you can find both the personal finance website there, as well as our jobs and careers page, our small business center, and everything else that we do in our department, which includes car and auto repair, construction, health and wellness, cooking. Also, one of our biggest sections is the cooking section.
Excellent. Well, Jonathan Steinmetz, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, people of Earth, Library Palooza. I kind of want to do this a lot more because they always have so much good stuff to talk about. Don't forget that the Night of Ideas is April 11th. There's all kinds of fun stuff happening in and around the city throughout the days, weeks. And so if you're not having your mind touched, that is on you. That is a personal choice. You know what else is a personal choice for me? Is to go out into the world and enjoy the finely manageable weather that's out there. So I'm going to go and ride off into the sunset. I think Mr. Ford is going to be here to pleasure your ear hole. If not, you're still going to hear some amazing music. Speaking of amazing music, one of my favorites is Cab Calloway, and he embodies a way of life that I hold dear, which is everybody eats when they come to my house. So until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. You with the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house.